Welcome, everyone, to the History of Persia. Here we will explore the stories and cultures of the great empires based in modern Iran that dominated the ancient Near East. From the earliest origins on the Eurasian steppe during the Bronze Age to the final collapse of the Sassanid Empire at the hands of Arab expansion in the 8th century. My name is Trevor Cully, and at the time I'm recording this introduction in February of 2019, I am finishing my bachelor's degree in history and classical studies while waiting to hear back from PhD programs, hopefully to study the Achaemenid Persian Empire. My own interest in Persia is actually tied directly to my interest in podcasting. I've always been fascinated by the ancient world, but a few years ago, I was writing a paper on Zoroastrianism for a religious studies class, and the TA for the course recommended that I listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History segment on the Achaemenid Persians. Between the paper and the podcast, I was hooked right away. I began digging into Persian history in my free time, and as I discovered Mike Duncan's History of Rome and Robin Pearson's History of Byzantium podcasts, I always listened just a little bit closer when the Romans were dealing with the Parthian and Sassanid empires. By the time I finally caught up with History of Byzantium, the Persians were long gone from that story, and I was trying to find a similarly in-depth podcast dedicated to the Persian empires. There have been a few attempts over the years, and the Persians certainly appear here and there in the stories of other peoples and empires. There's no History of Persia podcast, either completed or ongoing, to be found. So given my interest in the subject, I've decided to take on this project. The Persian empires, though not always as well known as some of their Western rivals, are every bit as important. If for no other reason, they are important for their roles as the most eminent rivals and threats to ancient Greece, Rome, and Byzantium. These were the empires of Darius, Orodes, and Khusro, who fought against Alexander, Marcus Crassus, and Heraclius in some of the most famous wars of the ancient world. But we should not forget that the kings of kings were not just the villains of other people's histories. Both within the boundaries of their own empire and beyond, there are fascinating histories of political drama, culture, coups, and conquests. The ancestors of these great empires can be traced to cultures living on the Eurasian steppe about 6,000 years ago. These people had no writing to tell us about their history and culture. Through archaeology and linguistics, researchers have made phenomenal strides to recreate the story of how those steppe-dwelling nomads and pastoralists migrated and became the backbone of cultures and languages stretching from modern Portugal to India. The descendants of those migrating tribes that eventually settled in and around modern Iran began coalescing into kingdoms, appearing in the records of the Iron Age Assyrian Empire around the 9th century BC, but would only become prominent when one of those kingdoms, that of a people called the Medes, aided Babylon in wiping Assyria off the map about 200 years later. The Median Empire, built on the foundations of northern Assyria, lasted less than 60 years before Cyrus II, king of a city called Anshan and founder of the first Persian Empire, claimed them as his first conquest in a series of wars that would grant Cyrus the title of Cyrus the Great for all time and establish the first of the great world empires. Cyrus's empire, sometimes called the Achaemenid Empire after the supposed founder of Cyrus's dynasty, was expanded by his immediate successors, would end native rule in Egypt for millennia, and battled the ancient Greeks in some of the best-known wars of the ancient world. The empire lasted from the 550s BC until it was conquered by another great conqueror, Alexander, in 330. Alexander's successors tore his conquered territory up amongst themselves, but the bulk of Cyrus's empire came under the sway of a general called Seleucus. The Seleucid Empire he founded would officially last until 63 BC, but by then it was little more than a city-state in Syria. The first fragments of Cyrus's empire began breaking away in the mid-3rd century BC. One of those provinces was Parthia, which began to conquer and absorb Seleucid territory over the course of the 2nd and 1st centuries BC. Simultaneously, the Seleucids were coming into conflict with the growing Roman Republic and facing rebellions in their west. With Rome chipping away on one side and the Parthians on the other, the Seleucids gradually collapsed. Though much of the old Persian Empire did fall to Rome, its nominal culture, titles, and the Greek name Persia were passed to the Parthian Empire. The Parthians would be plagued by internal division, court intrigue, and civil war for most of their history. Intricate and elaborate dynastic clashes would sabotage Parthian attempts at expansion, but never so much that Rome was able to make any permanent conquests of their eastern neighbor. Despite these difficulties, the Parthian Empire grew wealthy and powerful as the crossroads of many ancient trade routes, maintaining relations and contact with not just Rome, but the kingdoms of India and China as well. However, by the 3rd century AD, internal disputes and war with Rome had weakened the Parthian court to the point that Ardashir, the governor of the old Persian homeland in the province of Pars, and member of the noble house of Sasan, was able to overthrow the Parthian kings and establish himself as the new king of kings over the new Sasanid Empire in 224. Ardashir and his successors readily embraced their home province of Pars and the legacy of the first Persian Empire. They took on even more of the symbolism and cultural legacy of their Achaemenid predecessors. They breathed new life and influence into the ancient Zoroastrian religion, and Ardashir himself initiated the first expansions into territory beyond the existing Parthian frontiers. The Sassanids also found themselves at war with the Romans, basically from the word go, and that state of affairs would continue while the Sassanid kings developed the dream of returning their empire to the borders of the Achaemenid Empire, by then over 500 years gone. Though their relations with the Romans would remain mostly hostile and indecisive, while their enemies transitioned through the fall of the Western Empire to the Age of Byzantium, the Sassanids saw great expansion in other directions, pushing east into modern Pakistan, north into Central Asia, and even seizing territory on the Arabian Peninsula. They maintained diplomatic ties as far off as China and fought a war with the distant Ethiopian Aksumites in Yemen. Ultimately, though, none of these traditional enemies would deal the death blow to the last of the Persian empires. Greatly weakened by their final war against the Byzantine Romans in the early 7th century, a war that had briefly seen the Persians stretching back almost all the way to those ancient boundaries they had so long sought, the Sassanid Empire was vulnerable to the massive invasion that suddenly poured out of Arabia. An Islamic army under the Rashidun Caliphate arrived almost without warning on the southwestern frontiers of the empire and pushed deep into the heart of Persian territory. By 651 AD, the last Persian king of kings, Yazdegerd III, was dead, and Persia was incorporated into the caliphate. Though this did not mark the death of Persian culture or identity, the following centuries of caliphal rule and the rise of Islam certainly marked the end of the ancient world and the Persian empires that played such influential parts in its history. I now have to address the elephant that some of you may have found in the room. Up to this point, I have referred to all of the empires that this podcast will discuss as Persians. The Macedonian Seleucids are a pretty obvious exception. But listeners familiar with the history of the word Persian, the languages and peoples that now inhabit ancient Persia, will know that I'm not wholly correct in my word choice. In fact, some of you might think that I'm mostly or entirely wrong to describe these peoples and empires as Persian at all. The word Persian has its root in an ancient name for the people inhabiting the home province of the Achaemenid Empire, Pars. Different foreign sources had slight variations, but the Greeks most influentially called them Parthian. Today, that province more or less corresponds to the modern province of Fars, Iran, which is simply the same word after a few thousand years of the local language changing. The modern nation of Iran was actually still called Persia by Western nations until the 1930s, when the Iranian government formally began requesting the use of the native name for the country over the name of just one famous province. Iran as a word comes from the name the ancient people of that region used to refer to themselves, Ariana, which incidentally is where the word Aryan came from before it was corrupted by Hitler and the nationalist rhetoric of the 19th and 20th centuries. The Parthian Empire, in particular, as it did not originate in Pars, should technically be called an Iranian empire, but not a Persian one. So here I am faced with a challenge. Both Persia and Iran carry significant connotations in modern politics. Iranian is technically more accurate, and I will certainly use it in the context of the podcast as we go, but in terms of the title and how I will generally refer to the other native Iranian empires and the languages they spoke, I've elected to mostly bow to the precedent of the word Persian for simplicity's sake, as my focus is not on the modern nation-state of Iran or the area in its geographic boundaries, but on the ancient empires that originated there. I think I will be best served using the terminology that I expect most of my English-speaking listeners to be familiar with. On a similar note about language, I will also be facing a problem with basically every name that I come across. Almost every single person, place, thing, animal, vegetable, mineral, you get the idea, in the whole narrative of ancient Persian history, has at least three different names that I could choose to use. At minimum, there's an ancient Near Eastern name, an ancient Greek name, and a modern English name. Some of those are variations on one another, others are radically different depending on the source. I contemplated using the most accurate and original name I could find, but eventually I came to the conclusion that there are just some sounds in ancient Greek and Old Persian that I, as a native English speaker, will never be able to pronounce correctly. So I will mostly be using whatever generally accepted English pronunciation I can work out, and those are usually based on the Greek names for things. If the name I'm using deviates from that pattern, I will be sure to let everyone know, but still no promises on managing the pronunciation. Finally, when can you expect to hear more about the history of Persia? As much as I would love to start dedicating every waking hour to the podcast right away and put out an episode every week, I'm unfortunately a little too busy with my classes and my day job, so I will start by posting on a bi-weekly schedule and we'll see where things take us from there. The first episodes are up and I look forward to your feedback. I assure you nobody is more excited about this podcast than I am, but if you are excited, let me know and help spread the word that the History of Persia podcast is here. You can find me on Facebook at The History of Persia Podcast and Twitter at History of Persia, capital H, capital P, no the. New episodes of the show will be available on my website, historyofpersiapodcast.wordpress.com, or on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. So that's it. Episode 1 is online now. Go check it out, and I hope you all enjoy the show.